This is Night Call. Broadcast live with host Russ Gibb and tonight's guest, comedian Shelley Berman. Tonight's subject, what's wrong with people? You participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Now here's Night Call host, Russ Gibb.
Hello, Night People. This is Gibb. Standing by in Beverly Hills, California is Mr. Shelley Berman, amateur astronomer, professional comedian, writer, and human being. Now, if you'd like to ask Shelley a question on tonight's topic, what's wrong with people, or make a comment, give us a call here at Night Call. Our national number is area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, gentle people, you may call from anywhere, collect. You may reverse the charges. Now, please, if you will, make that call station to station. Our Night Call number, area code 313-846-6601. Our Night Call operators are on duty. Our lines are open, and we invite you to join us here tonight on Night Call. Our guest, Mr. Shelley Berman, our topic, what's wrong with people? Shelley, who is Shelley Berman?
Well, who is Shelley Berman? Shelley Berman is the guy, first of all, who's talking to you right now on the phone.
Okay, point one. Point two, who is he as a human being?
As a human being, I'll tell you, I can best, I think, describe myself by describing my surroundings.
Okay, do it.
I'm sitting here in a room, which we call our family room. Just to the right of me, about 10 feet from me, is a nursery, which is my 10-month-old son.
Your first son?
Yes. After 18 years of marriage, we finally decided that the only way we were going to get a baby was by adoption. We tried and tried and tried, finally adopted a little boy. We've had him since last January. He's 10 months old, and he's very big and very beautiful.
And what's his name?
His name is Joshua.
Joshua?
Yeah.
That's an interesting name.
In the room with me are five French poodles, believe it or not. Four of them are miniatures, and one is a toy. They're all beautiful dogs, and we're obviously, my wife and I love these little animals.
Do you talk to your dogs?
Oh, well, I mean, sure I talk to
them. And do they understand you?
Well, they don't understand me. They understand the tone of my voice, and I don't talk to them really in a kind of friendly way. It's generally a command, like, get off of there, or get up on there, or stop eating out of so-and-so's plate, eat out of your own.
They have their own plates.
I understand that.
That's saying something about Shelley Berman.
Over about 20 feet from me is my wife, who is very, very beautiful. Her name is Sarah. She's wearing a... What is that thing you're wearing? She's wearing a she just called it a black and white negligee.
It's very good.
One of those peekaboo types. She's a rather modest girl.
I see.
And she, I've never seen her spend an evening at home when she doesn't look her best. She always takes bath around 8 o'clock, spends an hour in the tub, and comes up, absolutely just radiant with fragrance. The whole house smells of that bath oil. I don't know what it is. And now, would you believe this lovely, sophisticated lady is sitting and drinking beer?
Well, I think this is again saying something. You know, I think a lot of Americans like a bottle of beer.
And so am I drinking a bottle of beer.
Well, good for you. Now, you might get some of our callers objecting to the fact that you're drinking beer, but I think many more would probably agree with you that it's a nice way to spend a Friday evening. Did you have a good Thanksgiving, Shelley?
We had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We had my brother over, who lives out here with us. Not with us, but lives in the city of Santa Monica. And his wife, my wife, me, my manager, Jim Davis, and our nurse, the baby's nurse, and we had a marvelous Thanksgiving. And we ate so much turkey, it's coming out of my ears.
I take it you like turkey, though.
Yes, I like turkey, and I like the idea of any kind of festive holiday. Christmas around our place is going to be pretty, too.
Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this will be the first Christmas with a youngster, right?
Yes, sir. And trying to figure out toys for a one-year-old is kind of difficult. You want to get him all kinds of things, but I guess I'm premature in some of my ideas. I mean, I can't get him a racing car yet.
That's right. You're sort of a nut on cars, aren't you?
Well, no. I own a sports car, And I do enjoy driving it about, but I don't race it, and I'm not really a faddist.
Shelley, what other kind of car do you have? I know you have two.
Well, my wife drives an ordinary little convertible. Both of our cars are 64.
Very good.
And I have a Jeep.
That's what I was digging for.
I got a, what is that, a 57? I don't know. I know it's an odd year. 52 is not an odd year, is it?
Why, did you sort of like Jeeps? You were in the Navy, weren't you?
I was in the Navy, yeah.
Well, of course, they use Jeeps in the Navy.
Oh, sure, they have some Jeeps.
That's right, they used them everywhere.
As a matter of fact, the Navy would have been far happier if I was in a Jeep than on a ship. And, so we've got this little Jeep that I wheel around. Sarah and I bundle up sometimes and drive down. When the grunion are running, we drive down to the ocean and see if we can catch some of those grunion. We never saw one yet.
What is a grunion?
That's a fish that's supposed to lay its eggs close to the shore, in the sand. And it comes in on certain tidal periods. They come in by the hundreds up mm-hmm. along the coast. And you're able to take as many as you can catch with your bare hands.
Are you putting me on?
Huh?
Are you putting me on?
No, it's the truth. They call them grunion. I think the whole world is putting me on because I've never seen them. The next day, I'm always running into somebody and say, my God, did I catch grunion last night? You know, where were you? What part of the beach were you? I'm always at the wrong part of the beach. I'm not interested in what's wrong with people. I'm interested in what's wrong with fish.
What's wrong with fish?
Yeah.
Well, listen, Shelley, it seems to me that you've been in show business for quite a few years, and yet most people look upon you as a comedian. What was Shelley Berman like before he became a comedian?
Well, Shelley Berman was very much the same. You don't become a comedian. You emerge into a profession known as professional comedy. But it's kind of difficult to distinguish between just first-class citizen or second-class citizen and first-class or second-class comedian. It's, there's no real difference in the in what a man is or what he does. I guess after you have that so-called success, and I put that word in quotes, you may develop a little affluence and become a little higher on the mark, but that doesn't really change your what you are inside, I don't think.
Well, you're an owner of a swimming pool now, right?
Yeah.
Has this affected you anyway, really?
Yeah, sure it's affected me fantastically. I get to swim 10 lengths or 20 lengths every morning, which has affected my health, my well-being. It gives me a place to entertain. But I could still, if I didn't own a swimming pool and I really wanted to swim that badly, I think I could go to some swimming pool and go to swim.
In other words, you really don't have to have the dough to buy your own pool.
It's a convenience. It's a luxury. It's a marvelous thing to be able to have one. I wouldn't give it up. I certainly wouldn't give it up. But I never take the luxury for granted. But I can't conceive of it as being a criterion, as something that I would look upon and say, this is my symbol of achievement. I can't look at it that way.
You wouldn't look down on a guy that didn't have a swimming pool.
Oh, my God. There are an awful lot of people who have them that I do look down at, though.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think it's the person that matters. And I know a lot of guys who earn swimming pools in their lifetimes and use them, have them, have these symbols of success, have the grand luxury cars, beautiful homes, and as far as their humanity is concerned, I don't regard them as being worth a nickel.
In other words, there's something more to life than the old buck, then.
Of course there's something more to life than the old buck. I can't deny my desire to have it like the next man. I can't deny my desire to live well and eat well and dress well. I can't deny that. To do so would be a lie. But to say that I regard it as the ultimate achievement of my life is, I think, would be absurd.
Shelley, you've kicked around. You were in television in the early days, in theater. You've been in the Navy. You're a Chicago boy. You've been a comedian, and now you're a writer. And I understand you're writing some scripts for a new TV series. Is that it?
Well, I'm developing developing some pilots for Warner Brothers and for CBS for half-hour situation comedy shows. Hopefully, I'll be able to sell a few and get them on and do that as a regular part of my work, production, direction, and writing.
Well, you must have dealt with all kind of people in your day.
Mm-hmm.
Our topic tonight is What's Wrong with People? Now, that title might sound a little bit negative, but I think there's something very positive about it, too. What do you think's wrong with people, Shelley?
Well, it's really the ambiguity of the question, the abstraction of it, is the thing that ties me up altogether. I don't know what's wrong with people. I guess I could probably touch on it if I talked about what's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
If I look really deeply into myself, I think I can discover those things that I find most objectionable in others. I don't think there's anything wrong with people. Forgive me if I sound a little bit sermon-esque here, but I believe that we were created in the image of God. And I don't think that he made many mistakes. I don't think there's anything wrong with people. I think there may be something wrong with the way people distrust each other and think there is something wrong with each other. That may be wrong. That may be really our only real sin. And that is the fact that we don't have enough ego. We don't have enough faith in ourselves, and consequently we look upon others as being like us.
This word distrust is an interesting word. The fact that sometimes, have you ever had the feeling that you've been annoyed at someone because he's mentioned something to you that you really haven't faced up to about yourself and you distrust yourself on it? Have you ever had this experience? I don't know if I phrased that correctly.
Well, I'm not sure I understand it thoroughly, but...
That's one of the problems of being a human being.
I do know this, that there are occasions when someone will confirm a suspicion you have about yourself, and that is annoying, of course. But it's you who suspects it to begin with, so all that person has done is remind you. I can't say I don't think that an annoyance is necessarily anything wrong. I don't think that that's a sin. To be annoyed by another person is not a sinful experience.
How does a guy know when he's kidding himself, Shelley?
I don't know. Lord knows, if I knew when I was kidding myself, I could throw away my great books. I don't have to read anymore. I wouldn't have to talk to anybody anymore. I think I'd be too bright. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even bother discussing myself with you or anybody else. Especially publicly this way.
You'd be there then.
Yes, I would have achieved that answer, you know. But I haven't the slightest idea whether I'm truly being honest with myself.
Do you think any human being does?
I beg your pardon?
Do you think that any human being really does?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that anybody really knows. You can hope to know, and some people are more adept at it. Some people are more acquainted with themselves. But and that, I think, is the secret. I think that the most important thing I can do is just love myself. And if I loved myself enough, if I was capable of it, I think that I would treat myself with such care and such caution. And if I regarded myself as a member of the human race, which is the first egotistical acknowledgement, if I regarded myself a member of the human race, I would have to love others if I loved myself. It would be that simple.
Our guest tonight is Mr. Shelley Berman. Our topic, What's Wrong with People? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Look, I'm quite self-sufficient. I made myself what I am, thank you.
But don't you think all of us occasionally could use a little divine or...
Gee, I gotta run. Here's my card, anyhow. I'm a vice president now.
Well, good.
Yes, indeed.
But your name, it's just penciled in here.
Well, there's a big turnover in personnel. You know how it is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just about how it is in life, isn't it?
Pardon?
We're all just penciled in.
Where you get the idea you can make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People. Our guest tonight is Mr. Shelley Berman, professional comedian, and I guess you might say a sort of a very, very human guy, as we're finding out on Night Call tonight. Our topic's What's Wrong with People? And if you'd like to ask Shelley a question or make a comment to this most interesting gentleman, give us a buzz here at Night Call. Now, our number is area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, you may dial us direct. Our lines are open now. Our operators are on duty, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. Now, if you wish, you may make that call collect. Our Night Call number, area code 313-846-6601. What's wrong with people? What do you think's wrong with people? Mr. Berman?
Let's go now to a lady in Denver, Colorado, listening on KTLN, Mrs. Marie Vanderpool. Good evening, Marie. You're on Night Call. Your comment, ma'am.
Well, hello, Shelley Berman.
Hi.
Well, hi to you. You know, this is the first time I ever did talk to someone that was somebody, you know, like you are, and it just makes me real, it just makes me happy to do this.
Well, it makes me happier to hear you say it.
Well, I'll say, and you know what? We're all humans, you know, and all these people, they talk about people, and the first thing you know, they're going to rumor this, and they're going to rumor that around. You know, I just tell them, now y'all just go ahead, you know, and I don't have much religion, but, you know, I do know that judge you're not, like Chester says, a judge you're not best to be judged, you know.
That's right.
Let them live, you know.
That's right.
I don't want to be fretting about them. Just let them go. And then what's wrong with the people? You want me to tell you what's wrong with the people?
Excuse me, would you talk up a little bit louder? I'm having trouble hearing you.
Excuse me, man. You want me to scream it out, huh?
Yeah, just yell it out.
Yeah, okay. Well, I had an old gent living here. He was 85 years old. So he had a heart attack, passed away, you know, all that. So you know who was at his funeral? Just two people, me and my daughter. That's all. So you know what? Nobody has time for old people. What's the matter with people, anyhow?
Well, I'm awful sorry to hear that nobody else showed up for the old man, but it's kind of warming to know that you showed up.
And he was a Masonic from Masonic Lodge, and the Masonic Lodge, they've done a real lovely ritual. They are wonderful people, that Masonic Lodge. Did you know that? They were there.
Oh, well, they showed up. Well, at least they showed up.
And they certainly did, and I sure did appreciate that. And then I want to know if your dogs, are they delicate dogs?
Oh, no, they're very hardy, wonderful dogs.
Are they really? But I always wondered about those kind of dogs, if they was really...
Oh, no, they're not little lap dogs. They play very rough. They're very hardy dogs. They eat good, and they're tough. And I got one that swims the pool with me, and you can't get him out of the water.
And then somebody, when that pool gets all dirty, then what do? Have somebody clean it all out, huh?
Well, I clean it sometimes.
Boy, that's an awful job, huh?
It's a big job.
Well, by golly, I bet it is. Hey, how's the weather out there?
Oh, the weather's, it's clear now. It's kind of beautiful now.
Oh, Mr. Shelley Berman, this just makes me real happy to talk to you, sir. And I want all them people to get with them old people. And you know, I'm going to be 85 someday.
Well.
I'm going to be nice to them old folks.
And I hope you're as happy and as free-thinking as you are now.
Yes, I'm just happy as if I had good
Marie.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Mrs. Marie Vanderpool, a lady from Denver, Colorado, a happy lady, listening on KTLN. And Shelley, let's go again to Denver to an old friend of ours on night call, a regular caller, Mr. Dave Adams, listening on KTLN. Good evening, David. You're on night call. Your comments, please.
Good evening, Ross, and good evening, Mr. Berman.
Hello?
Mr. Berman, did you not know Jack Power fairly well?
I'm sorry.
Beg pardon?
I didn't hear that. The name?
Did you know Jack Power?
Jack Power?
Yeah.
Yes. Knew him very well. I worked with him many times, worked for him many times.
Yes, well, I've seen you on his show, and speaking of people, I'm really sorry that the network took him off the air, because I think that he was an individual, and that is one of our problems today, is not having enough individuals. Too many people are conformists. You take, like, the program, that was the week that was. That was another program. It showed up our little idiosyncrasies, you know, our little faults.
Yes.
With the government, different things. But it did it in a way that was sort of amusing, but yet it showed us some of our mistakes.
And yeah, but it's not.
Off because, I don't know, I think people are, in my opinion, are a little petty. When somebody, even in a joking way, says something to them, they're so touchy now. I just don't understand people, and I don't know why people don't allow programs like this to be on the air.
Well, I'll tell you what I think, Mr. Adams. I'm not certain that that Jack Power's show was taken off the air. I knew for a fact that Jack Parr wanted very much to buy his own little television studio, and he wanted to sort of settle down a little bit. So I think that it was partly Jack's desire to leave network television. And in the case of many other shows, for example, That Was the Week That Was, unfortunately, there's that Nielsen rating, an Arbitron rating, which counts a great deal in whether a show is going to stay on the air or not. And if your rating isn't high enough, the sponsor doesn't want to pay that money to advertise his product, you see?
Yeah. Well, the way I understood it, Mr. Parr wanted 90 minutes instead of 45 minutes, I believe, for a show, and the network wouldn't go along with him. And
well, that was one little dispute, but I don't think that was what caused his ultimate leaving of his television show.
Yes. Well, I enjoyed him very much, and I enjoyed listening to you when you were on his program.
Thank you.
I was a admirer of yours, and haven't you written some television plays? Or not?
Yes, I'm in the business of doing that right now. I hope you'll be seeing my work pretty soon.
Yes, well, I hope I will too, because I think you have quite a lot of imagination, and I believe you're an individual, and we need more individuals in America now. You take most people only use, say, about a tenth of their brain capacity. I was reading an article the other day that no man since history, you know, since we've been recording history, has ever used his full brain capacity.
Yep.
Even Einstein, I guess, had some room left, you know. and I'm just wondering, if we used our full brain capacity, just what type of people we would be. Would we be petty? I've seen some of these science fiction movies.
Well,
I think they told a story, you know, when these people from outer space would come down, we immediately wanted to destroy them. We didn't, you know, in the play, you know, as if we didn't know whether they were here to help us, we just wanted to do away with them because they were aliens.
I gotta say this, that we may be smarter. I just hope that we become better if we ever do become smarter. You know, there's a saying in our business, never give a drunk a cup of coffee, because all you'll do is wind up with a wide awake drunk. Suppose we use that other 90% of our brilliance, we just may have a bunch of very smart, evil people.
David, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you, Ross.
Good night, David.
Nice talking to you.
Mr. Dave Adams, a gentleman from Denver, Colorado, listening on KTLN. And let's go out to Indianapolis now and listen on WFBM, Mr. Richard Bash. Good evening, Mr. Bash. You're on Night Call. Your comments, please, sir.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoy your program. I'd like to ask Mr. Berman, in his experience, on the routines of comedians, like they say that Bob Hope has thousands of jokes and cross-indexes files of jokes and jokes. It's difficult for me to understand how you can come up every day with such an entertaining and vital program.
Well, it all depends on your circumstances, what you're doing. If you do a show from week to week, then you have, of necessity, you have a group of writers assisting you in the development of your show. If you're simply doing a series of monologues and performing them occasionally on television, and or you're doing them in personal appearance, you don't use up that much material. And several comedians are capable of writing their own material and writing it so that it'll bear, that it'll last a while, you see, that it'll bear repeating.
I see.
So, but if I was in a position of a variety comedian where I would have to appear week after week or night after night, I would, of course, need some help in preparing that. And there are many bright men who write jokes who really don't care to deliver them. So you sort of count on them to help you through.
Shelley, what comedians write their own material that we would know?
Well, I'm not going to tell you anybody else except me.
Just yourself.
I'm the only guy I can think of right now.
Dick, did you have any further comments?
No, sir, but I certainly enjoy your program, and I thank Mr. Berman for his comments.
Well, thank you for calling Night Call, sir.
Good night, sir.
Good night. Mr. Richard Bash, a gentleman from listening on WFBM out in Indianapolis, Indiana. And our guest tonight is Mr. Shelley Berman, and you can call us here and talk to Shelley direct by giving us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. And remember, you may call us collect. You may reverse the charges. So if you'd like to make a comment on tonight's topic, what's wrong with people, and talk directly to Mr. Berman, give us a call here at Night Call. Area code 313-846-6601. Shelley, a little while back, you mentioned the fact that it's difficult for a human being to understand self. Do you think it's because self is always changing?
I don't know whether self is always... Of course self is changing. I don't know if the core of you, if the soul of you is changing that much. I think more the periphery of you, the shape of you may change. What you are, that little spark inside of you, I don't think has changed significantly. Of course, as you grow older and as you experience more, you change, of course. But I don't think it's enough. The changes are enough.
In other words, we should strive for more changes? Is this what you're saying to me?
I don't think you have to strive for more changes. I don't think you have to really be concerned with them. I think they'll take care of themselves.
You live life, in other words.
Just go ahead.
Go right ahead. Has this been your philosophy?
Well, I don't know what my philosophy really is. I haven't examined it that thoroughly. But
no.
I really think that the most perfect human being is the human being who thinks of himself as perfect, or at least wants to be perfect, who thinks of himself as potentially perfect. I'm truly fed up with the emphasis on humility. It generally turns out to be a lie. I don't like this false modesty. I don't like to hear a fine track star say, "I won because I was lucky." I want to hear him say, "I won because I worked hard to win and because I have a talent to win."
Our guest tonight, Mr. Shelley Berman.
Our topic, what's wrong with people? And of course, you're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Well, I can't this Sunday. I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday I promise to take the kids to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Man's got to spend some time with his kids, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, we seem to get along just fine without church. You know, it's up to the individual. Gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days.
Uh-huh. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday?
Oh, I never planned that far ahead. 2 weeks, the whole world could blow up by then.
That's right.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb. Our topic tonight on Night Call, What's Wrong with People? And our guest is Mr. Shelley Berman. Of course, you know Shelley. He's a comedian and also a writer. And tonight, on Night Call, a very human-type guy. If you'd like to ask a question of Mr. Berman or make a comment on tonight's topic, What's Wrong with People, give us a buzz here at Night Call. Now, it's very easy to call us. All you have to do is pick up the old telephone, have a dime handy if you're using that type of telephone, if you're in the boarding house, and dial area code 313-846-6601. Remember, gentle people, you may call from anywhere collect. You may reverse the charges. Now, please, if you recall, make that call station to station. Our Night Call number is area code 313-846-6601. Our Night Call lines are open, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. Now, if you get a busy signal, please do not become discouraged. Just hang up the phone again and then dial the number, and eventually you'll get through to our switchboard here at Night Call. Area code 313-846-6601. And Shelley, we have a caller now standing by in Grand Junction, Colorado, a listener on KEXO, Mrs. Gorby. Good evening, Mrs. Gorby. You're on Night Call, ma'am. Your comments, please.
I'm having a little trouble hearing, Mrs. Gorby. I wonder if you could just shout real loud.
I would like to ask Mr. Berman why he waited so long before he adopted a child.
I think I heard that. I'm not sure, Russ.
She wanted to know why you waited so long before you adopted a child.
I'll tell you the truth. We didn't wait so long. We started adoption proceedings a little while back. But I ran into some difficulty with the first agency that we tried. And I won't go into detail, but it was a rather embarrassing and uncomfortable experience. And at that time, I just threw my arms up and said, the heck with it. We won't do it. And the following year, we started all over again. I guess a few years later, we started all over again. But
I was just wondering. I think children are wonderful. And I was just wondering why you waited so long.
No, we didn't. And, of course, we thought we were going to have our own.
Yeah.
But we didn't intend to wait so long. But, gee, the years go awful fast.
Yes, they do.
Shelley, was it worth the wait?
Was it worth it? My goodness. Incidentally, I want Mrs. Gorby to know that we haven't waited long. The day after, or two days after, we went to court for the final decree on our adoption of our boy, we applied for the adoption of his little sister.
Oh.
So, it's worth it.
Yes.
And when will the little gal be there?
Well, we don't know, but we hope in a year.
Well, Mrs. Gorby, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
And thank you. I enjoy your program very much.
You're very kind, ma'am. Good night. A lady out in Grand Junction, Colorado, asking Mr. Berman why he and his wife waited.
Long?
Hello? And Mrs. Gorby was listening on KEXO. And if you'd like to talk to Shelley Berman, give us a buzz here at Night Call. Area code 313-846-6601. And you may reverse the charges. You may call or collect. And Shelley, we have a caller now in Indianapolis, Indiana, a listener on WFBM, Mr. Jack Mather. Good evening, Jack. Welcome to Night Call. Your comment, please.
I'd like to ask Mr. Berman if he believed that Jack Parr derived enough satisfaction from his show.
There's a question for you, Shelley.
Well, it my opinion, I don't know whether my opinion would be any more specific or telling than your own. It's my suspicion that he derived a great deal of satisfaction from his show, but it was not all of life for Jack. Jack enjoyed many things more than being a performer. He's a family man, as you well know, and he enjoys a kind of simple life. He's a kind of grassroots individual, and I think probably now he's the happiest man alive, owning a small television station and having more time to spend with his wife and his daughter.
See, I always enjoyed watching his show, I think more because of the guests and the fact that unlike one female woman who substituted for him once in a while, he allowed the guests, including you, to do their bit, speak or express their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever meet Alex King?
Yes, I did meet Alex King. And I knew him quite well. And Jack Parr, I think, was probably the greatest straight man who ever lived. He was a very funny man, besides, but could always feed a straight line to one of his guests to let his guest get the laugh or get the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Alex King was very funny. On one occasion, I think it was the occasion that Jack Parr had his... the famous walk-off when he was doing The Tonight Show and went off to Hong Kong. Well, I was on the show that night, and I was in a very peculiar position. I felt that all we could do by discussing the problem, rather than going on and giving the audience a show, I felt all we could do was damn Jack by pounding the thing home. By making it by finishing it, that's all. I thought that if we could kept discussing it, it would have hurt Jack on that occasion that he did change his mind. We may have made an issue, more of an issue of it than it should have been. So I tried to keep the conversation, the debate which ensued, at a minimum. Well, it was Alex King who returned and said that Shelley Berman was sitting on two chairs with one rump. He felt that I had played it safe, and maybe it looked like I had, but I really didn't intend to.
Shelley, did you find when you sat in that particular chair that your past experience as a performer, kind of a one-man show, had a tendency to interfere with that facility of letting other people do their bits?
Well, of course it did. There's a terrible feeling there of knowing when to listen and when to talk. I think requires a very exceptional kind of talent, or at least an exceptional experience. You have to have a facility that I don't really think I possess. I don't think I'm the host type.
Shelley.
Yeah.
Do you recall when Parr did the bit with Mickey Rooney where he just let Mickey dig himself deeper and deeper?
Well, Mickey was, I recall that occasion. And I don't know if Parr let him dig himself deeper and deeper or if Parr didn't know what the heck to do. I'm not sure. I do know this, that all was forgiven and Mickey came home. Everything turned out all right.
Oh, Jack, did you have any further comments?
I had one more question.
Yes, sir.
This is, I would hope won't take too long.
But go right ahead, Jack.
Several years ago, the Canadian Broadcasting Network did a series of interviews with comedians. They interviewed Ed Wynn and Red Skelton. One of the questions was, how many comedians do you think there are in existence at this time? I'd like to put that same question to you. How many comedians do you feel there are living at this time?
Well, I don't know. I think that all men who are called comedians may be regarded, and who are living at this time may be regarded as comedians. Certainly Red Skelton is a comedian. Ed Wynn is a comedian. Bob Hope is. Danny Kaye is. I really don't know. I'm hard put to give you a direct answer. We can't skip the comedy talents, for example, of Alec Guinness, or Terry Thomas, or Peter Sellers. We'd be very unfair to forget Fernandel in France, and Cantinflas in Mexico.
You're saying there's brands of comedians, then?
Beg your pardon?
You're more or less saying that there are different types of brands or makes.
Brands, countries, styles, so many forms of comedy delivery. Marcel Marceau, who does it in pantomime. And Red Skelton. How about Sid Caesar, who is a great pantomimist? Contemporary rather than classical pantomimist. But there are so many good comedians. And there are many comedians who had really very little success as stand-up comics. Dick Van Dyke, for example, who was a brilliant comedian, but who, as a stand-up comic, had quite a time getting started. Jackie Gleason, really didn't ever do much in the stand-up comedy field, in the nightclub field. Really wasn't getting anywhere.
Shelley, have you ever done a situation comedy?
Oh, yeah. Done several. I've appeared as a guest on several.
Jack, did Shelley answer your question there?
He sure did. I'd just like to say that when I watch TV and see him, I usually immensely enjoy his acts. And, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to talk with him, and I enjoy your show. Thank you very much, Russ.
You're very kind.
Good night.
Good night, sir. Mr. Jack Mathers from Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on WFBM. And, of course, our guest tonight is Mr. Shelley Berman.
You got some wonderful people calling in.
They're interesting. And, you know, we got all... There's all kind of brands of callers on Night Call, too.
And many rough ones tonight. I generally expect a nice rough one.
Well, I'm sure that if you give us time, that we'll get somebody that'll put you on there a little bit. Every once in a while, I have the feeling that, you know, they're kidding us by some of their comments. And yet, many people are very serious about many strange things. Like, one lady called in one night, and it seems to me that she was concerned about turkeys. She had something about turkeys that really bothered her.
Well,
you know, I guess if you...
There's a woman named Lita who had an affection for swine.
So if any of our callers would like to talk to Shelley directly, give us a buzz here at Night Call. It's very easy to call us. Just dial area code 313-846-6601. And if you get a busy signal, please don't become discouraged. Just
don't give up.
Don't give up the ship. Just dial again. And that's area code 313-846-6601. And I'm sure there must be some comedy in giving a telephone number over the air, Shelley, because no matter how many times you give it, you get some mail the next morning. Why didn't you give the phone number more often?
That's right. I've been sitting here thinking, why do you give the phone number so often? I'm going to write you a letter saying, don't give the phone number so often.
Well, we've had one letter like that. The majority say, give it more often. And you can say it 100 times a night.
Say zero rather than O. Why do you say zero?
Because really, it is a zero. O is part of the alphabet.
But O is idiomatic. What's the matter? Don't you like America?
All right, touche. You've got me. You know, I give up. It's 83. Now you've got me wrong. I'm giving my own phone number. It's area code 313-846-6601. And I got pulled over by an officer one day, and he said, what's your license number? And I said, 313-846. I'm sorry, sir. And at that, I guess he sort of hauled me away, and it was all over. It was beautiful. And they gave me another number. But I guess I don't make a comedian. That's your job. But, Jelly, I think we've got several callers here, and we'll get to them in just a few minutes after we take our break.
So I'll remind our guests tonight, that our guest is Mr. Shelley Berman, and our topic, what's wrong with people? And if you'd like to talk to Shelley, give us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. That makes the producer very happy. And, of course, you're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Busy America,
America. Busy making money, busy buying gadgets, busy keeping up with you know who.
Is that your idea of fulfillment?
Don't you wonder if there's more to life than just that rat race with no finish line? Where do you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Our guest tonight is a gentleman who has taught dogs how to swim, and a gentleman who likes to gaze at the stars. He does some other things, but I think you'll know him as Mr. Shelley Berman. And if you'd like to talk to Shelley tonight, give us a call here at area code 313-846-6601. And remember, you may dial us direct, and you may reverse the charges.
Call station to station, please, yes. And that confuses people, yeah, too, because, you know, some outfits have, you can dial station to station calls by dialing one in front of it, and other places you ask the operator. So this confuses people, too. Shelley, we have a caller standing by in Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN, Mrs. Norma Harper. Good evening, Mrs. Harper. Welcome to Night Call. Your comment, please, ma'am.
First of all, I would like to tell Mr. Berman what a pleasure it is to have him on the air. We consider him one of the really fresh, top-flight men in the business. And I do a little bit of continuity myself, not successfully, but I try.
Is this comedy or continuity?
Script
writing, I'm sure.
Writing in general.
I see.
Well, we're all in the same boat.
But I'm not successful. I'm just hopeful. I would like to ask Mr. Berman, and I don't want to put him on the spot, but I was wondering if there is some hope that we're going to get some help in this vast desert wasteland of the same old type of writing. And it isn't sour grapes, even if I accepted. And not being hung up too much on the Nielsen ratings. Isn't there hope for fresher material?
No.
Such as yours?
No, there is hope. Of course, there is hope. There are many fine shows.
Yes, there is.
In this vast wasteland, which is not such a wasteland. Of course, it is vast. There's more than hope if you watch it enough. I tell you this: as much bad as there is on television, you can't look at documentaries. You can't read documentaries as beautifully as they can be presented on television. And they're fantastic. Now, if you're just going to talk about situation comedy or drama, serious drama, then we run into a problem.
Right.
But let's say the Bob Hope Chrysler Theater, which presents, is an anthology, which presents beautiful, beautiful theater and beautiful television theater. There are some of the series which run some very provocative stories, exceedingly provocative stories. For example, the Dr. Kildare series, which was an alarming problem presented to the American people and presented dramatically with some very talented actors.
And they've changed the format considerably on this.
Yes, they have changed the format, but and I don't like the format as much, although the problem that they presented recently on dialysis for kidney ailment was a fantastically illustrative example of an American problem, and it's important. So there's some hope in these shows, and if you watch a good news show, there's hope, you know, because they can show you news. And so there's so much. And then, of course, there are some good comedies. Being a writer, I know what some of the problems are. There are too many people you have to satisfy.
I mustn't keep you too long. That you have grown in scope so considerably, and you have now a down to earth approach to people, and I think you do beautifully in a talk program. Have you ever considered this in an informal interview format?
Thank you.
I'd
be afraid, but thank you.
Thank you. It's just a joy to talk with you, and I'll give way for someone else. And lots of luck, and I know you have it. You're a very, very refreshing fellow. We hope we keep you around a long, long time.
Thank you, sir.
Mrs. Harper, thank you for calling Night Call. Mrs. Norma Harper, a lady who had some very nice things to say to Mr. Berman. And, of course, Mrs. Harper was listening to KTLN. Well, we have some very kind people, some very considerate people that call us here on Night Call. Let's go out to Baltimore now, listener on WBAL, Mr. Frank Anders. Good evening, Frank. You're on Night Call, sir.
Well, thank you.
Hi.
How are you?
Real fine, Frank. Your comment, please.
I was listening to the radio at the same time.
Yeah, and it's on tape delay, and there's a little delay in hearing us.
Oh, I see.
It sort of confuses you if you listen to the radio. I think if you turned it down, you'd be in better shape, Frank.
I just now turned it off.
Okay.
Well, the topic tonight is what's wrong with people, Greg.
Right, sir.
Well, I'd like to make a few points that I've observed myself. I think one is that a lot of people are basically shy, and they're afraid to stand out. I noticed this myself tonight making the call, for instance. I was reluctant to do it. I wanted to make a statement on it, but I was reluctant realizing that this is something a little bit different, you know. And, I think if people are given a chance, and if you're really friendly towards the person, then usually there's some good that'll come out of them. I think an example was when the lights went out in New York. They say that it could have gone one of two ways. Either it could have been a panic, or things could have settled down, and everyone lived together, and the circumstances that were different. And, thank God, everything went good. I read the accounts on it, and, saw pictures, and people that were complete strangers became friends and got along.
In other words, when people have to, they do come out of this shyness. Is this what you're saying to me?
Right. I think when they're given the opportunity, everything becomes so set, and there's such a standard and pattern today in life that a lot of people are afraid to deviate from this pattern there.
Shelley, would you like to comment on Frank's comment there?
I really have more to add. I can only agree with him. I think New York has redeemed itself in my eyes in many ways. I've always thought of it as being a terribly frightening city. And when this disaster occurred, or what could have been a disaster occurred, and it didn't become a disaster, I was surprised. I was taken aback because I thought for certain it would wind up in some terrible calamity.
Right.
Frank, can I ask you a question?
Yes, indeed.
You mentioned that you felt shy about calling at first because it was a little bit different,
right.
Calling through Night Call, and yet you said the friendliness of our guest made you feel free to call. How did you get this friendliness? What was it about Shelley that made you feel that you could talk to this guy? And this is exactly the same feeling I have had with Mr. Berman.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I don't watch too much television. And I have heard Mr. Berman before, but I wouldn't recognize his face, as a lot of people would, I mean, to be quite frank. But just listening to him, and the way he talked to the lady, I think, from Nevada, and the way he just seemed very congenial, and he laughed easily, and a person like this doesn't put you on edge. And
well,
it makes you feel more like presenting something on your own, you know?
Well, Frank, that's exactly the feeling that I had, unbeknown to you, of course. Shelley and I had talked on the telephone, I think about 3 weeks ago, wasn't that?
Yeah.
And at the time, I expressed the same fear. I said, well, Shelley, you're a comedian, a well-known comedian, a writer, a man of quite a bit of fame, and how do I talk to you? And he said, how do you talk to any guy?
Well, I think that's what makes him such a good entertainer, is he presents himself to people as being one of them, not being someone up on a perch that has to be looked up at, respected. I mean, he is respected because he doesn't make everyone feel that he has to be respected.
That's a an interesting observation. Frank, we have another caller waiting, so I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Let me thank him, too. It was very nice.
Good night, sir. Mr. Frank Andrews, a gentleman from Baltimore, Maryland, listening on WBAL. And I think we have time for one more caller. A gentleman from Denver, Colorado, listening on KTLN, Mr. Phil Tacey. Good evening, Phil. You're on Night Call. Your comments, please, sir. Hello, Phil?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Could you speak up a little bit, Phil, please? Yes, sir.
All right, Phil, if you could just get it to me as loudly as you can, because I'm having trouble hearing. We're way across the country.
Right. Well, I was interested in knowing why. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Why Shelley Berman chose to make his film debut in such a unsympathetic role as he did in The Best Man. It was so offbeat from what he usually does. And the question just interested me as to why he did an appearance like that. I mean, I enjoyed the film. It was full of excellent performances. But his performance was so unlike anything he had done. I was curious as to why he accepted a role like that.
Uh-huh. Well, it's, I'll try to tell you as honestly as I can, Phil, that I like to act. I was an actor before I ever became a comedian. And I had to play the role as I saw it. And I saw it as just the kind of guy that came across to you. A rather unsympathetic and obnoxious, kind of a rotten little person, weak little man. I saw him that way, and even though it was in opposition to the image which I would prefer to be representative of me as a comedian, it still was an acting role, and I had to play it that way.
Well, it's a good answer. Do you have any other plans to appear in any other film?
Well, I would like to appear in another film. I'm under contract now to Warner Brothers to appear in a film, but the film hasn't been chosen yet.
I see.
But if it's an acting job, I hope it's a sympathetic part, but if it happens to be a meaty role and he's a rotten guy, I'll play him anyway.
Well, thank you very much, Mr.
Burns. Thank you.
Phil, thank you for calling Night Call. Mr. Phil Tacey, a gentleman from Denver, Colorado, who is listening on KTLN. And Shelley, that's just about all the time we have left on Night Call, and I want to thank you very, very much for being our guest, and I want to thank your wife for putting up with us in your home this evening, and the dogs, too, and the baby.
Well, it was a pleasure.
Good luck to you and everything that you want to do in your life.
Russ, it was just a ball. And I want to thank your guests for calling in, making me feel important.
Our guest tonight, Mr. Shelley Berman. Our topic was, what was wrong with people? Monday night, good night. Monday night on Night Call, our guest will be Mr. Richard Hall, and he's the assistant director of the National Investigation Committee on Aerial Phenomenon. Our topic, UFOs. Are they real? Until Monday then, this is Gibb wishing you good luck and Godspeed.
Night Call is produced by the Methodist Church in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and this radio station. As a radio forum dedicated to the frank discussion of vital issues of daily life, Night Call encourages its participants to express freely and responsibly their own personal opinions.